For the message this morning, I invite you to turn with me to Revelation chapter 3 and verse 1 for a text to the message. The words of Jesus here, speaking to John in this revelation that he gave to John. He says in verse 1 of chapter 3, "And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, These things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead." Title of the message this morning, Dead or Alive. So we see here that this church at Sardis, according to what Jesus was saying, which he knew the inside of these people. So verse on the board says it's the happiness is not dependent on what happened outside of you, but what happens inside you. And I believe the focus from God is what is inside of us. And that is what Jesus was seeing here, is that they had a name that they were alive, but in actuality, they were dead. How is it with us this morning when God looks inside us? Do we have a name that we are alive, as he says, that thou livest, but really we're dead? And this is talking about in a spiritual sense. I have a couple things here for an object lesson this morning. I have a lamp here, and it has a cord. You children, if I set this lamp down on the table here, and I turn the switch, do you think it'll come on? Why not? Backer?
It's not plugged in.
Not plugged in. So is that lamp dead or alive? What do you think? General?
Dead.
It's dead, that's right. There's nothing alive about it. I mean, you could hit it, you could try to cut it, wouldn't do a thing. You wouldn't feel a thing because it's dead. That's what Jesus was saying about the church of Sardis. He was saying that you have a name, that you're alive. And typically we look at a lamp as something that's alive. It looks like it should make light for us, right? It'd be a nice lamp to have on your desk, and you want to read, turn the switch, and it will come on and it'll give you light. But we can see that switch doesn't do anything. So I have something else here. Do you think this could change matters? There is a receptacle, an outlet under that pulpit. Matter of fact, there's four plugins. If you look on the wall over there, you see a double outlet. Well, this has four underneath the pulpit here. How many of you would dare to take two wires and stick one into here with one hand and one into the other with the other hand? Anyone would dare to do that? It looks pretty dangerous, doesn't it? But you, and then the reason you wouldn't want to do that is because you're afraid it is a lie. Well, let's see what happens. Do you think we'll have light now? Maybe. Not. So what's wrong? What's the matter? Is this dead? Obviously it is, right? This is dead too. So this could represent us. Of ourselves, we're dead, right? Jesus said, without me, without Jesus, without, someone said, he is not plugged in. We're dead. We can't do anything. We could liken this to the church, the religious system, if you will. Does that give us life? On its own? No, it does not. it looks ever so alive. That outlet over there, we're going to think it's alive. But, and what really inspired this message is the episode we had at the benefit supper the other night. There was a whole row of outlets on the wall, and they all looked normal. And I assumed they were alive. And I plugged the cord in, plugged the laptop into the cord, and halfway through the auction, I get the warning message on my laptop, low battery, and you have another 10 minutes until your computer shuts down. Now, sometimes we, as that lamp, we might get the warning in our spiritual life that your battery is low. And if you don't do something different, if you don't plug in, you don't connect, you're dead. Your spiritual life, in other words, is ebbing out. Life is going away. Now, I haven't tried that outlet. I don't know if that outlet's alive or not.
Do you think we'll see something different? Now, I did plug it in, by the way. Right. Now, would you say there's life there?
Now it's alive, right? There's a connection. The church is now connected to her head, in the spiritual sense, we could say. So therefore, when we plug in, and I'm not saying that we necessarily get our life from the church, because not all physical applications, completely transform into the spiritual. But we get our life from Jesus Christ. And if we as a church are not connected to Jesus Christ, the vine, we're just a dead branch. And if you would take this lamp and you unplug it, you could cut the cord. Right now, if I was to take the scissors and cut this cord, there would be some serious sparks. And probably would burn the sharp edge of the scissors. But if I would do this, you could do that. It won't hurt you. But if it's plugged up, it's pretty dangerous. It could actually kill you if you had a hold of the ground with one hand and the hot with the other. It could actually kill you. It's called electrocution. And that's why children should never plug wires into those outlets, like I was talking about doing with that cord, because there's power there. There's potential there. And it could potentially kill you. And that's why in Henry County, when you build a new house, the law now says that you have to put receptacles in that have a little block device that you can't just stick something into one outlet. You have to have two at the same time to go in to make that go open up so you can plug your cord into it. Back to the reference of the lamp. When we unplug it and we unplug this cord, we can take, a 10 snips, and we could cut this cord into hundreds of pieces and it would never do anything. We could start at the outside end and work our way back, and we could cut that cord into 1-inch pieces and it wouldn't matter a thing. It wouldn't hurt anything other than we'd ruin the cord. But if you would try that with that cord alive and a good heavy breaker, you could do some serious damage to a 10 snips. And thinking about that of us as individuals, when we are dead, like the lamp is when it's unplugged, what does that do to us as far as our spiritual protection? It makes us helpless. It makes us easy prey. And if you take the church and you disconnect the church from her head, from Jesus Christ, and the church is now dead, even though she has a name that she's living, she's dead. The church is easy prey for the enemy, for Satan. And that is Satan's goal, is to get us away from the power source so that we become easy prey to him. He wants us to be dead. He doesn't want us to be alive. When we as individuals and we as churches, when we are connected to the Lord Jesus Christ, we are plugged into the vine, we are connected, then when Satan wants to come in and destroy us, he has to deal with the power that's in there, and he is mortally afraid of that power. Because Jesus went to the cross and he won the victory. And as some people say, you know, us as Christians, we don't fight our way to victory, but we fight from victory. In other words, what they're saying is that the victory has already been won. And we don't have to fight our way to victory because Jesus has already done that for us. And that is why we can have life when we are plugged into the source, when we are plugged into the power of Jesus Christ. We are given that same power that resurrected Jesus Christ from the dead, and that power flows into us. And as the Bible says, we love him because he first loved us. We cannot love God of ourselves. When we are unplugged from the power source, we have no means whereby we can love God. And that is what Jesus said that we should do when the lawyer asked him, you know, what must I do? He said, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength, and thy neighbor as thyself. And we cannot begin to do that when we are disconnected from the power source, because God is love and God is our source of love. And therefore, when we are not connected to God through the Holy Spirit, through Jesus Christ, we have no means whereby to love God or to love one another. And we cannot even love ourselves properly with the right kind of love. We love ourselves selfishly, you know, unless we are connected to the power source and we get that love from God the Father himself, from God who is love. You know, so when we have a church system that is disconnected from God, from the power source, then Satan has nothing to fear because there's no power there. But when we connect, when we are alive, we are no longer dead, but we are made alive, then Satan has to look out. You know, there's probably nothing that the devil would rather do than to keep a person from believing and coming and connecting to the power source, from having that work of regeneration done in a person's life, or to turn a person from faith, from believing, to unbelief, and to bitterness and turning away from God. And ultimately, that's usually what happens. When a person turns from faith in God, from believing in God and believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, to unbelief, there is most always bitterness that happens in that person's life. It usually brings that about. You know, so when the Bible says we cannot come to God except we believe that he is. So he is saying that we cannot come to God unless we have faith. And if we don't have faith and we don't believe, then we're like the lamp when it's unplugged. We're not connected. We're powerless. We're on our own. We're dead. We're easy prey. You know, we need more than just a name that we're alive. We need to actually have life. And that's what Jesus is saying about this church in Sardis here. You have a name that you're alive, but you're actually dead. So in other words, they probably were alive at some time, but they had turned away from God. They had put their faith in something else other than the true source of power, the true source of life, which is from God himself. You know, we must have more than just a name. We must have life. We must have the spiritual life that only God can give us through Jesus Christ, his Son. In Matthew 23, Jesus exposed the deadness of the religious system. You know, they were like this cord before it was plugged up. There was death there. He said that you're like whited sepulchres. You know, when I look at outside of you, you look beautiful. But he said within, you're full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. You know, you appear outwardly, you look like you're righteous, like you're, and you know, when you take this cord and you plug it and unplug it, can you see a difference on the outside? No. You can't see a thing different. And in that same way, the scribes and Pharisees appeared righteous outwardly. They were doing and saying the right things, but Jesus saw into their heart, and he saw that within they were dead. So the inside is really what counts. You know, the outside is important because when we have the inside alive, the outside is going to match up with what's inside. The problem is, so many times we make the outside first and foremost, and we get the outside in order, but the inside isn't connected. That is a problem. So I wonder what Jesus is saying to us today. You know, sometimes you hear people say that, you know, I wish Jesus would come to me in person and he would tell me so-and-so. He would tell me what to do. Does Jesus speak to us today? He does, absolutely. What is Jesus saying to us today? And, you know, I believe that could be a message in itself to, you know, how does God speak to us? The Bible says if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And we are living in the day of the Spirit, in the Spirit dispensation. We are living in the day of the new covenant when God says he will write their laws in our hearts. He will put them in our minds. It's not about just the old law. The old law has been fulfilled. Jesus came and fulfilled that. And now we are asked, because he has given us the Spirit, he has given us the Holy Spirit, we are asked to live on a whole new level because we have been empowered. We have power from within that flows out of us and it shines out to those around us. What would Jesus be saying to us today? He talked to this church here in Sardis. He said, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. What would he say to us as a church, as a people today? I don't know. You know, there are things that I believe the Spirit speaks to us as individuals that he tells us about. But I have to think of things like materialism. You know, sometimes maybe we put too much emphasis on, how does the Bible say, supposing that gain is godliness? That if someone is wealthy, materially blessed, that that's got to be a godly person. Would he talk to us about trusting in uncertain riches? He talked to the Pharisees about making long prayers, but they were doing it in pretense. Would he talk to us about that? Would he talk to us about worshiping God in vain? About going to church every Sunday? We look right, we say and do the right things, but you know, we'd really rather be somewhere else. Our heart is just not in it. Would he talk to us about having our faith like the Pharisees did in something else other than the living God? I think it was a preschool verse that said, we trust in the living God. And that is the only place that our trust should be. There is nothing or no one else that can save us other than the living God, the only begotten Son of God, Jesus Christ. He is our only hope. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, except in the name Jesus Christ. You know, could we be guilty of having our faith in works, the things that we do, in our culture, our plain and simple lifestyle? And we think as long as we do these things, we're okay, we're saved. And I'm by no means saying to do away with that. No, there are many benefits to that. But what Jesus is saying, you can have a name that you're living, but you're actually dead. And we can do that if we put our faith in the wrong place. You know, our people, our culture has made a name. We have made a name for ourselves that we are alive, that we are a thrifty people. We are a hard-working people. We've got it right in a lot of ways. We have a lot going for us, a lot of blessings. But have we kept the life that Jesus is talking about that we should have? More than just a name that we're alive, but actually being alive. Have we kept the life for us as individuals? You know, just because you have life doesn't mean I have it. Or because I have life doesn't mean you have it. We must have that life as an individual in order to make it to heaven. We must be alive as an individual. You know, and if we have kept the life, Are we showing our children, teaching our children on how to be alive? How to have more than just a name. It's more than just a culture. The actual truth to what happens on the inside of being born again, of being connected to the power source. Or are we dead? Are we an easy prey? Because we're unplugged, we're disconnected. Solomon looked at dead, or at death, in Ecclesiastes 4, verses 1 and 2. He says, "So I returned and considered all the oppressions that are done under the sun. And behold, the tears of such as were oppressed, and they had no comforter. And on the side of their oppressors there was no power." On the side of their oppressors there was power. And that's speaking about the ones who were oppressing these that were oppressed. And he says, but they had no comforter, the ones that were oppressed. Wherefore, he says, I praise the dead which are already dead more than the living which are yet alive. When Solomon looked at people that were living a dead life, people that were not connected to the source, they were like the lamp that is unplugged. They were out separate from the vine. He said, in my own words, it's better that they're already dead, that they're out of their misery, than that they would be alive. And he's speaking about this physical life that as we know it, this physical body that has life in it. We live, breathe, we do things. He's saying that if you're living a life that is dead and you're living under oppression, you're better off being dead and being out of your misery than to be alive and living life. You know, that might be a carnal way of saying it, to say that, you know, I'm glad they're out of their misery. But how dead is life? If that's all we have to look forward to is just this life here. Just this short 70 years, is what, according to the psalmist. 70 years 70 years. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 19, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. It's a pretty miserable life, isn't it? If this is all we have to look forward to. Now, this scripture, what Paul is writing about, is coming from the spiritual life. He is saying that the real life isn't being lived yet. And that's why, if we only have hope in Christ in this life, we are of all men most miserable. The real life begins when the natural life ends. When this mortal body is dead and we put on immortality, as the Bible says, we're changed, that is when we can really begin to live. And we don't have to be worried about disconnecting ourselves from the power source, because I think we'll be eternally connected. We'll be eternally plugged in. You know, there are some people that say that when you're dead, you're done. You're just like a dog or a cat. And there, I guess there's a possibility that there could even be dogs and cats in heaven. I don't know. But they don't have the breath of life like we do, that God breathed into our nostrils the breath of life. And it says man became a living soul. And I don't know how that is with dogs and cats. But in other words, they're saying that when you're dead, you're done. You're just like the dirt out there or a tree or something that decays and it goes back to the earth and that's it. That's all there is, some people say. There's no life after death. But Jesus was confirmed dead in the manner those people are speaking about. In other words, he was confirmed dead as in the sense that the natural body was dead. When the soldiers came to Jesus, what did they say? He's dead already. And they didn't break his legs like they did on the other two men that were crucified on either side of him. But yet, Jesus is alive. Is there life after death? When Festus was talking to King Agrippa about Paul, he said that when he had Paul brought before him, that the people that accused him, they didn't bring accusations against Paul like what he had expected to hear, but he said they brought certain questions against him of their own superstitions, he called it, that of this man Jesus, which was dead. And he also confirmed here that he was known to be dead, to have been killed. But he says, Paul affirmed that this Jesus was alive. In John, 1 John chapter 3, it tells us in the first three verses, it says, I'll just read this. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. So here he is saying that not only is Jesus alive again, but that we're going to be like him. And that's what the writer says, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians, or 1 or 2 Corinthians, wherever it is, that we're going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And this mortal body is going to put on immortality, a body that will never die. It'll be life. You know, we are actually living on the death side of life, if you will, because we live in this body that is dying. But when God says it is enough, and God says, I am through with you, and I'm calling you home, those of us who believe in Jesus Christ as our Savior, who are actually alive on the inside, being plugged into the power source, we're going to be changed, and we're going to start living for real. We're going to be alive forever. No more able to die. No more death. No more sorrow. No more crying. And here it says that when we have this hope in him, we have this hope in Jesus Christ, he says we're going to purify ourselves even as he is pure. How can we do that? The church in Sardis, I believe, wanted to be pure. But Jesus said they had a name that they were living, but yet they were dead. Can we purify ourselves by putting forth more effort and more faithful church attendance? By speaking up more in Sunday school? By staying awake during the message and listening more carefully? Or by going above and beyond tithing and giving more money to the people in need? What about doing more goods and doing them unselfishly? Because I really want to help somebody. Or what about watching our thoughts more carefully and keeping our thoughts more pure? Or what about forgiving those who have wronged us? Now, I believe all of those things are marks of a Christian, are marks of someone that is alive, that the lamp is burning, the lamp is on. But none of them, in doing them, will purify us as Christ is pure. They are outward things. They are things that should be happening. If we are connected, if we are alive, they should be happening. They should be coming out of us. They should be flowing out of us. Jesus told the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, he said that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. He was saying that when you just come to church and you worship, but you just do it to be seen of men, to be looked up to, or have a good reputation or whatever, it's not going to amount to a hill of beans. It's not going to amount to anything for you. It's not going to make you pure. It's not going to make you alive. But as I mentioned here a while back about what he said to the Pharisees, he said, these you should have done and not the left the other undone. So just because coming to church doesn't make you pure doesn't mean you should quit coming to church. No, absolutely not. But what Jesus is saying, connect to the source. Get alive from the inside out. Worship Him in spirit and in truth. You know, if we try to worship God without the Spirit of God, it's always a pretense. It's just a hypocrisy. It's a dead thing. There's nothing alive about it. You know, we can try to please God so hard by the works that we do, but unless we have the Spirit of God, and it's coming because of the life of God within us that makes us alive, and we come in faith and we believe that God is, and that Jesus is the only begotten Son of God, unless we believe that and do that from the heart, from the life that is within us, then the works are just dead works. As the Bible says, they're filthy rags. They're just a pretense. They're just hypocrisy. And that's what Jesus was saying about the Pharisee and the publican when they prayed in the temple. We must be connected to the power source. We must have the Spirit of God within us, that work of regeneration. The Spirit of God within us, guiding us and teaching us and leading us in order for us to be alive. We have to be grafted into the vine. We must be connected to Jesus Christ, the vine. Without that connection, we are dead. And we could talk about justification versus sanctification. You know, sometimes we may wonder, where am I? Am I dead or am I alive? And we raise a question. Things are confusing sometimes. But to me, it helps to clarify when we get the meaning of the word justification versus the word sanctification. Justification means that you are freed from blame or guilt. Justification is what happens when we as sinners, when we cry out to God, through Jesus Christ, the leading of the Holy Spirit, we answer that call when the Father draws us and God does His work of regeneration within us, and we are justified. We are now freed from all blame or guilt. There was nothing that we could have done on our own, that we could have worked out or done, that would have brought about that justification. It is merely by faith, by believing in the work on the cross. And the Bible says, Jesus said, it is finished. We don't have to try to further the work somehow. We can't. We can't do that. It's already finished. It's already done. What God wants us to do is to believe in that work. And that is how we get life. That's how this life comes within us, is by regeneration, by the new birth. Sanctification, on the other hand, is when we are now born again. And as we are baptized with the Holy Spirit, we listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit and we obey the Holy Spirit. Our responses in times of crisis, in times of testing, become more like what God would do, what Jesus would do. And that is sanctification, where we become more like Him. And that, my friends, is never finished in this life. It is a progressive thing, something that goes on. And sometimes we may make choices that are not sanctified, choices that take us away from where we want to be. Doesn't mean we're not justified anymore. We are still in Christ, unless we say, I don't want any part of that, and we turn our back on God and we say, I don't want to be a part of your kingdom anymore. God's going to let us go. The choice is up to us. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 20 and 22 says, this is immediately following the one where Paul had said that if we have hope of Christ in this life only, we are of all men most miserable. He said, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ shall all be made alive. Death came to us by man, because we sinned. That is why we are dead. That is why we must come back and be connected to the power source in order to be made alive. It says here that the resurrection of the dead also came by man, by the man Jesus Christ. And in him we have life. That is how we can be made alive. That is how we can be justified. And then when Jesus ascended up to heaven, he said, I'm going to send you the Comforter. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit, and he will guide you into all truth. He says he will teach you of all things. He will teach you whatever you need to know. So when our lives are revolving about Jesus Christ, we are connected to the vine. We're abiding in him. His love is in us. We can love ourselves as God intended for us to love ourselves. We can love God as God wants us to love him. We can love our neighbor as God wants us to love him, as God intended for us to love him. And we will be alive for real, not just in a name, but for real. But sometimes we wonder, am I dead or am I alive? You know, we know that we're born again. We know we cried out. We prayed the sinner's prayer. We asked Jesus to be our Savior. We know that he did that work of regeneration within us. But yet somehow we feel disconnected. We feel distant. Have you ever experienced that? I have. More than, you know, many a time. I believe that is because we are in this flesh. We have this old man to contend with. We have to deal with this old man, this old carnality. And maybe there are parts of us that are not sanctified. You know, when Jesus did his work of regeneration and justification, that was complete. We were just as righteous as, you know, a person in heaven, if you will, because Jesus did his work completely. He doesn't do it by halves. When God looked at us, person justified, he sees Jesus Christ. He doesn't see all the spiritual warts and blemishes, if you will. He sees Jesus Christ, a person complete, as the Bible says, complete in Jesus Christ, made whole. But as we go through life and as we make choices, maybe we, as the Bible says, give place to the devil. We make choices that darken our mind. We make choices that give a part of ourselves to Satan. And it hinders us. It mars that connection, that relationship we have with Jesus Christ. Because there are areas of our life that are not in surrender. That maybe there are areas, part of us, that are dead. And there's other part of us that is alive. And I know you can't be, you know, halfway between. You're in some cases. But I think it's like the church in Revelation where he said that I would that you were either cold or hot. I don't want you to be lukewarm. And maybe sometimes we get to that lukewarm place. God says, I'll spew thee out of thy mouth. Doesn't mean necessarily that you are no longer justified, but you're not in God's perfect will. You're not really where God wants you to be. In Matthew 6, verses 22 and 23, it says, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? You know, is it possible that we could be in between somewhere, between the eye being single and the eye being evil? In other words, we're not totally sold out to Satan. We're not totally doing his thing. But neither are we single-mindedly and single-eyedly following Jesus Christ anymore. We have moved to a place where we have given part of ourselves to Satan. Choices that we made gave place to the devil. And we wonder, am I dead or am I alive? Don't know where I am. And it's not a comfortable place. It's not a place we like to be. And I believe the reason it's uncomfortable is because of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is wanting us to come back As the Bible says, the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. It is the goodness of God that he draws us through the Holy Spirit. He convicts us and he draws us back to repentance. Back to the place where we once again become single-minded. Once again give every area of our lives over to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we give that ground back to Jesus Christ. And I believe this term, single, if thine eye be single, would mean that our focus is only on Jesus Christ. There is no hypocrisy. We have no reputation to maintain anymore. There's no rebellion, no lust, but we only want Christ. And I believe that goes with what Brother Elmer shared in the devotional this morning about the man who found the pearl of great price, and he went and he sold everything that he had, and he went and he bought that pearl. Now we realize that that peace and that connection to the power cannot be bought. But it comes when we give a full surrender. When we become desperate. When we really want it with everything we've got, God says, I will be found of you. And he says, I will make you alive. I will restore you. I will take back all that ground that you gave to the enemy. I will restore that. And I will give you much more. Or for those who have never given their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ, God says, I want you to come too. I want to have all of your ground as well. I want to have that relationship with you. I want to make you alive. Dead or alive? Do you wonder? Ask God to show you. If you really desire that, he will show you. May God bless us. Kneel to pray.